You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick filling in for John Hockenberry today. Well, all across America, millions, tens of millions of kids are going to be getting their lunch today at school. Maybe not in the South where school's canceled, but everywhere else they will be. And we've been talking to you about what can be done to improve what your kids eat at school.
This is Tasha from Green Acres, Florida. I'm lucky that my husband and I are able to make lunch for my son and not rely on daycare. His meals are usually about $4 to $6 a day, and they are organic. But even so, there's not much of a selection, and there also aren't too many things that are healthy foods, which is something my son actually enjoys.
Thanks to Tasha. And from Grand Prairie, Texas?
I believe that public schools today are serving what amounts to fast food in the cafeterias. When my son comes home and says that he's eaten pizza today, it's difficult and challenging to make sure that I balance that out in the evening to make sure that my son isn't one of the statistics that's overweight.
Well, here's a more encouraging picture from one listener to the program on KOSU in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I live in a small farming and ranching town in northwest of Oklahoma City. I have no concerns about my child's lunch program. Very well funded and managed. We are fortunate to have what we have compared to a big city school lunch program. Well, last year, more than 5 billion school lunches were served to more than 30 million students across the country. That's according to the USDA. In total, more than 224 billion lunches have been served since the start of that program. But with every lunch, there's some new criticism. Well, here in New York City, one problem is just how early lunch gets served. Because of overcrowding and a shortage of space, tens of thousands of kids eat their lunch before 11 a.m., sometimes, in fact, as early as 9 a.m. Meanwhile, in Minnesota, almost four dozen public school districts are coming under fire for completely denying lunch to students from low-income families who don't come up with the 40-cent cost of a reduced-price lunch. Similar practices have been reported in Utah and Texas schools. Well, we've been talking about how to fix school lunches for a long time in this country. So today we want to try to tackle the question and understand, why is this problem so very hard to fix? And what should the school lunch of the future look like? Well, here to help me with that discussion is Marion Nessel. She's professor of nutrition and food studies and public health at New York University. She also runs the blog foodpolitics.com. Marion, hello.
I'm glad to be here.
Thank you, Professor. We're glad to have you. There was a law enacted just a couple of years ago. It made some news, but I covered it. It was called the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act, and it was supposed to promote fruits and vegetables in school lunches. Is also supposed to have quite a bit of monitoring so the schools would tell the government that they're creating healthier lunches. Is it working?
Well, the USDA says that it is working. They did a survey and they said that something like 85% of schools were complying with the new rules and were not having very much trouble with it. And that doesn't surprise me, because if there were schools that were eager to serve healthier food, this law gave them an excuse to do it.
With money?
And a little bit more money.
A little bit more.
A little bit more money. 6 cents per meal.
Okay. Well, do we have any good indication that 6 cents per meal, or the USDA saying it's working, means kids are eating more fruits and vegetables at school? We had the one caller who we listened to who said his son comes home and says, I've been eating pizza.
Well, it depends completely on what the school is. In my experience, going around and visiting schools, the school lunch is completely person-dependent. If the school has a school food service director, a principal, and some parents and teachers who are interested in feeding kids healthfully, miracles are performed. And I've been to schools in some of the poorest neighborhoods in America and seen school lunches that were quite edible, that smelled good when you walked into the cafeteria, and that the kids were eating with no trouble at all. But that depends on who the principal is and who the school food service director is. I've also been in schools where the kids didn't eat the food, where they were eating candy bars, where they were paying no attention to it, and where nobody in the school seemed to care. And when I go into a school and see that the kids aren't eating the lunch and the food isn't very good, I ask, where are the adults?
What you're describing is really a patchwork, a mosaic, and the kind of thing that these federal standards, I guess, we're supposed to help prevent. But in this country, we famously, notoriously, however you want to put it, keep Washington out of the business of local schools. And I wonder if that's part of it.
Well, that's certainly part of it. And the government has other things to do besides going to every single school in America. And there are hundreds of thousands of them. I think there are a lot of them anyway.
Yeah.
The government can't do that, and so it relies on local schools to do what they can do. And some local school districts are performing miracles, and some are not.
What's an example of some school districts where these miracles are happening, where it's really working? What are they doing?
Well, I think it's working in New York City. And as I said, I've been to some of the poorest schools in New York City and seen a school food service director and the cooks who are thinking about how they can make the food taste good.
What kind of food?
Well, it's the same food that everybody else gets in every school in America. The difference is how it's cooked and how it's presented. Now, some schools don't have kitchens, and that's an enormous problem. The schools that are most successful in producing decent lunches are the ones where the food is actually cooked.
On site. And so in many schools, it's brought in, packaged from an off-site kitchen?
Or a school food management company provides the food, and some do that do a better job of it than others. But because of the financial issues, it's much, much more financially viable for a school to do its own cooking on site and buying ingredients from scratch than it is to buy pre-prepared foods or foods that are cooked by somebody else.
I'm surprised to hear you say, Marion Nessel, that it's the same food as everywhere else, but it's a question of how it's prepared. Is that really the case? I mean, all schools are serving essentially kids like pizza, so you can give them a healthier pizza choice. Is that an example?
Yes, you can do that. And of course, some schools are trying to source locally and source organic and do some other kinds of things like that. But even with the standard school menus that many, many schools use, you can make those foods taste good if you pay attention to it.
Well, what's the answer? We promised to look at the future a little bit at the end here. And if there is this patchwork and some schools are really, really doing it right, even some schools that aren't in New York City or places that get a lot of attention, what is the answer to get more of the schools that aren't using the better ingredients or better preparation to start doing it?
Well, you do exactly what you're doing now. You pass a law that requires better food, more nutritionally better food. And you do it school by school. You just go school by school by school and work through it. It's a long, slow process. It's actually going rather well by USDA standards. You hear about the schools that have the most problems. And, you know, kids always are going to complain about school food.
Sure.
But the real issue across the board is that we don't have universal school meals. And that's what we really need in this country. It would solve a lot of problems.
Universal school meals is an issue that we're going to cover on a future show, I'm sure, because we have been paying a lot of attention to this issue of school lunches. Marion Nessel is professor of nutrition and food studies and public health at New York University. Marion, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
So there you have it. It's not an easy problem, but there are a lot of ideas. Do you have any ideas about school lunches? Let us know at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can send us a tweet at The Takeaway. And you can head to thetakeaway.org for detailed data about what time New York City school students are eating their lunch, sometimes as early as 9 a.m. This comes to us from Boston, Massachusetts. I always worry about what schools think is adequate nutrition to feed children. I have heard enough complaints about school lunches to instead send the kids with homemade lunches. If you missed anything or want to listen again, check us out at thetakeaway.org. You can always reach us, of course, at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Todd Zwillick in for John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by Reputation.com. With tools to help businesses and professionals monitor and manage online reviews. Now offering a review kiosk to help customers create reviews. Learn more at Reputation.com. The Henry Luce Foundation, for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable developments in communities across the country.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.